Tonight, Scott, I have Place 3 College Station City Councilman, Dr. Carl Moody.
He's the Mayor Pro Tem, too, isn't he?
That is correct, yeah. For just a little bit longer.
Okay, there you go.
Well, are they yanking the title away from you, Carl?
It could be renewed. But,
okay. They yanking the title away. Do you have to run for that? Do you campaign for that? How does that work?
Well, of course, you have conversations with your fellow council members, but hoping to gain some support. But, you know, I've been fortunate to have the position for 2 years, which is long in College Station terms, clearly not in Bryan terms, because, you know, Ann Horton just ended her term.
She got a sash. Yeah. You know.
Well, there you go. You know, I don't know how well I would look in a sash.
there you go. Anyway, so lots of stuff going on. I want to harken back to a vote that took place in October when the city was looking at the idea of getting some of the resources that we have underground out and to market. And you had a dissenting vote when it came to fracking, and I happened to be watching that night, and certainly Steve Ogden was there, and Steve has been in the energy industry for a long time. But you were pretty pointed in your concerns as far as that has happened. Now, I referenced that because now as prices are going down, maybe some of that exploration isn't going to take place right now. Now, there are probably leases that have to be considered, but this is going to extend out, and the longer it goes before holes are poked in the ground, is there a chance that there may be more people who aren't happy with the idea of fracking?
Well, I think, you know, there was an EPA report that's been in progress for quite some time, and a partial report was released back in March of this year that came out about 163 pages. So it's good bathroom reading or wherever you do your best reading in the home. You know, that's one of those issues that I thought that we needed to spend a little bit more time in study. Not so much on the actual drilling, but the disposal of the fluids that are used in fracking. Diesel fuel, for example, has been used quite frequently in the actual drilling process. And this past year as well, the Railroad Commission came out and said, nope, can't use diesel fuel because it's a little bit harder to, make useful so that you can put it back into the ground.
Sure, recycle. Mm-hmm. Okay? Right.
And thank you. So that was a concern that I had because the Railroad Commission went back out and said, well, you know, folks, companies, you've got this mandate. But yet they found 122 companies still using that process. And so I'm concerned about it. The EPA report that's come out, and in fact, the Railroad Commission just about 3 weeks ago came back out and said, whoa, wait a minute, we're a little concerned now about these injection wells. And there happens, at the time we were told there's none here in College Station. Well, guess what? We actually have some here in College Station. And so while those injection wells put the wastewater well below the aquifer, the concern now is coming up is what's actually happening when you've got that kind of pressure putting water back into the ground, and is it somehow causing the rock structures, the geological structures that are down there to shift, which in the case of the Eagle Ford, just southeast of San Antonio, resulted in what they think, I say resulted, that's an assumption because of the coincidental.
How things have changed,
yes.
Right? Okay.
All right. That area of southeast of San Antonio did not have any seismological activity until this wastewater injection started to occur. And they've had some what are referred to as man-made earthquakes up to a 4.2 scale. Huh. All right. The Barnett Shale area, which is up around Azle, all right, just for folks that don't know, that's a little bit northwest of Fort Worth in the Denton area. They've had some earthquakes as well in West Tarrant County even. It's reached over that far.
So, folks, you can see if you poke Carl about this, he's got an opinion. And I think, again, as time goes on, this discussion may be reopened, I guess, is what we're looking at.
Well, I think it's going to have to be. You know, you look at Texas has some laws on the books that are a little bit different than some other states. You go into states like Pennsylvania and Ohio, where one local exploration company is actually among those that are being challenged in the courts. As far as cities and towns, like Denton here in Texas mm-hmm. has passed a no fracking rule within its borders. But here in Texas, the Railroad Commission has made it very clear they're going to go ahead and continue to issue permits. But over in Pennsylvania and Ohio, cities have the rights to say no.
Sure, and I'm not a geologist. We know that the dirt's different in different places. But let's move on to some good news. and that is that tax revenue up $1.5 million from a year ago at this time. Your occupancy rate in the hotels up 13%. That means good days.
Well, right now it means good days. For those of us who have been around here for 30, 40 years, though, we know that sometimes good days also signal that you've reached a peak, and you need to be still vigilant about how you spend those additional funds. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we've got some needs here in the city. Certainly, I believe council will be taking a look at the additional revenue and saying, how can we best apply those funds that we've been fortunate enough to realize.
Sure. A&M is a gown town. Obviously, there have been times when relations were not that good with the administration. They seem to be better now, and I think y'all just recently got together and had a meeting with leadership.
We did. Thanks to Interim President Dr. Hussey, we had a meeting with his staff and community leaders, not just from College Station, but from Bryan as well. It just shows that how related the futures of both the university and the two cities where the majority of its folks live are intertwined. Folks came up after the meeting who knew that it was occurring, and they said, well, did the university ask you for money? Not directly. All right, but the university did help outline some of its future growth plans, which means that College Station, in particular, is going to have to respond with changes in infrastructure, roads, and then there's other things. When the university starts talking about continuing approximately 9,500 to 10,000 more students each year, all right, that means that we're going to have to take a look at infrastructure in other areas, particularly our older areas, Northgate, where we've got developers continuing to come in who have seen the success of places like The Rise and The Stack, and they want a little piece of that market as well. So I think we're going to see continued growth over in Northgate. We just recently broke ground for Century Square, which was where the married student housing was, those old red brick or orange brick apartments. And that's going to be adjacent to North Point Crossing, which, of course, anybody who goes by there can see they're working diligently on phases 2 and 3.
Well, and then if you keep on moving down University to Chimney Hill, obviously now you've announced what's going to go on there now with the developer out of Houston coming in. And while you have some infrastructure in place, traffic impact there is going to be tremendous.
Huge, huge. And we're working with TxDOT right now, particularly on pedestrian traffic, which, I mean, you put up a 16-story building, if any of the newer buildings that are supposedly going to come up out of the ground someday, but even the Century Square project, you're going to have folks that are going to be moving and walking across the street, riding bikes and so forth. So we're going to have to do a better job there at being ready to accommodate that. The College of Engineering itself is going to be moving farther on down, and we know that there's going to be some parking garages where they have surface parking now, which means, again, an increase in vehicular traffic.
Sure. Carl Mooney joining us this morning. And with that in mind, and of course you were chairman of P&Z, and we've discussed, I've used Tower Point as a discussion about it, but what we're talking about here now, as you have these basically built-from-scratch type facilities, you know, again, you're talking about all the things that have to do with these areas. Now, they're going to be landlocked, and we're not going to have any surprises there. But how does College Station, in your view, prepare for, I don't know where it's going to be, but someplace else there's going to be 27 acres that is trees and flat land with no houses around it, and it's going to need to be developed. So, again, as a former guy who sat on P&Z, how do you try to look into that crystal ball?
Well, part of that crystal ball is exposed by constant contact with the folks that want to go in there and actually develop that property and what their visions happen to be. Folks continually talk about the area just south of Greens Prairie Trail. The Margraves Ranch area right now is one example. Once that starts to expand, that whole roadway is going to have to go to four lanes. And so we need to be talking to those folks to see when do they anticipate that that's going to occur. So we're acting proactively and not reactively.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of land. If people don't know, that's over in the Castlegate area, but kind of headed back south toward Houston, a big chunk of land. And
yes, it is.
When they decide to develop it, it is going to impact things. So we're talking about a growing city here, and that also means a growing school district. And so now we're starting to have to stand in line for our bond issues. And I know that as we did the candidates forum, the school board candidates were discussing how there's got to be another bond on the horizon there. College Station does the same thing. So we don't need to get to the point where we have one bond after another. That's not a good environment.
No, it's not. Typically, I think we've kind of been caught with a bit of surprise here by the growth it was anticipated to be in the 3-4% range, and we're clearly exceeding that now. If you just happen to read the Eagle this morning, for example, talking about the bond issues and what they are anticipated to cover, with the additional schools that are going to be needed, we're seeing developers come in and dedicate land, which is very smart on their part.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the newest elementary school where they had groundbreaking just yesterday is right in the heart of one of the phases of the Castlegate neighborhood. That's great planning. But on the other hand, we've got to find ways that if we're going to see this continued growth, and we know that it's going to be a burden to the taxpayers, how can we mitigate some of that burden? And that's where the city and the school districts, I think, need to work closely together. When we're looking at facilities that are like athletic facilities, for example, how can we utilize what we already have and make that usable at more school districts? And maybe we create public-private partnerships so that things that we've even been talking about, and I know you've talked about a few things as well here on the radio, but how do we address those and still maintain a good quality of an all-around curriculum for our students?
Well, and College Station is geographically growing. I mean, for years, we basically ended at Rock Prairie, if you will. Well, the explosion south of Rock Prairie has been tremendous, and, well, we can see. I mean, you build the schools where the growth is going to be, and you can see where all the schools are being built. So that facility, even someplace within the city of College Station, is not always going to be convenient for people. So
exactly.
One other thing to look at. But I want to touch finally, I don't think we've talked to you, you've been in since we've talked about maybe repurposing City Hall or doing something where the City Hall building is. So as one member of council, what's your thought about what ought to be done there?
Well, the needs of City Hall were really brought to the forefront when we had a council meeting about a year or so ago, and it started to rain, and we watched the water creeping into council chambers.
It shortened the meeting, did it?
No, it didn't.
No, nothing could slow down the College Station City Council.
We were still holding on to all of our electric devices and such, and hopefully there were other people who wanted to run in the wings, but nevertheless, the needs of City Hall are apparent. For example, when City Hall was built, nobody had a computer on their desk. It wasn't heard of. The nearest thing you had to a computer was an IBM Selectric.
Mm-hmm.
And you were fortunate if you had that. Otherwise, you were still pretending that you were in high school with the old Royal typewriters. And so on it goes that the needs have increased. We can see that there's going to be continued growth in College Station, as you've already mentioned today. So we need to take a good hard look at how to build a City Hall that will not only meet our needs now, but how will it meet our needs as we go into the future? Because if we don't build a City Hall or find a way to get a City Hall built for us that we might be able to lease over a long period of time, which is one thing I think might deserves some considerable discussion because it's cheaper. But how do we go about having a City Hall that's not going to just take us for the next 20, 30 years, but 40 to 50 years? And I look at some national organizations that saw growth. The NCAA, for example, when they moved to Indianapolis from the Kansas City area, they went and built an entire additional floor up above what their needs were. It was a shell at the time. But now that is filled out, and they're actually leasing additional space in downtown Indianapolis. We're not as big as the NCAA, of course, nor would I want all their problems. But I think we're ready to take a good hard look at it. We've got some interest in the property there because it is prime property. And I think there's a way that we could still have City Hall there. At that location, still looking over the university, which I think from an aesthetic viewpoint is a good location for it. Texas Avenue, still our primary thoroughfare. It will be. I don't see that changing. So we perhaps need to take a good hard look at that in the very, very near future.
Well, I'm going to ask you, we're short on time, but I want to ask you to dig down just a little bit on the idea of somebody else building it and you leasing it. Tell me the genesis of that. Is that from someplace else that you saw, or how did that get birthed?
Well, we've all been taking a look at what's happened elsewhere. It is a model that has been successfully employed in other communities. Being able to not have to bear the cost and requiring the taxpayers to bear the cost of a building from the ground up would be one way that we can keep any needs for bonds lower, right? Be more responsible, not go to the Taj Mahal kind of concept that was discussed years ago and soundly defeated, go for what we really and truly need, right? And then over time, lease the building, and then after a period of that time, the building would revert to the city.
And you got a fixed cost, which is probably a good thing to have. Anything else we haven't covered today you wanted to mention?
I'm just getting excited. Christmas is right around the corner. We're going to have Christmas put on by the Park and Recs. Those of you who travel up and down the bypass have seen that lights are being put in place. So it's going to be a great time here in the city. College Station's going to be enjoying more of that sales tax that you talked about. And I'm just hoping as we get to the holidays, particularly Thanksgiving, that our folks in the listening area will be able to enjoy Thanksgiving with their family and friends, and particularly for those from our community who are serving us abroad to protect our freedoms to enjoy Thanksgiving, that we all take a moment to pause and give them thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time this morning.
You're welcome.